It's a very good morning. Jeremy Garland here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. And this is Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. I'd like to make welcome Lynn Dimer. How are you, Lynn? How are you today?
I'm well.
Yeah,
thanks, Jeremy.
Nice. Come a little closer to the microphone. It's all good. Yes, Lynn. Of course, we're going to do a welcome to country and an acknowledgement to country as well. So, and then we'll talk to our guests. You know, Victoria and Jansen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jeremy.
Nice to have you on Noongar Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And also, Jan Atkins. How are you?
Good, thank you, Jeremy.
And of course, Lynn, let's start off with an important engagement here when it comes to Noongar Radio.
Okay, I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the lands on which we're sitting and meeting, and specifically the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nations.
Yeah.
But also, because we're broadcasting throughout the many lands, I'd like to acknowledge those people there, their traditional elders past and present, and also our future ones.
Beautiful. And thanks, Lynn, for that. And it is important to acknowledge that. And you've done it here on Noongar Radio for our programs for the first, so that's wonderful too. Lynn, tell me a little bit about who you are in country and people.
My people, I belong to the Yemidji tribe. My mum is a Wadjuri person and yeah. My dad is Buddy Meyer. And I actually grew up, I was born and bred in the goldfields, so I claim Wangai country.
Yeah.
And my husband is also Noongar, but he's from the Esperance region.
Yeah.
And we actually thought that he was somebody else, another cultural group. But recently we've been informed that, no, it's Noongar Nation, so.
We're
proud to be part of the Noongar Nation.
Isn't it amazing? We're sort of posted everywhere, aren't we?
We are.
One of the beautiful things about the Wangkatha area is the Yamaji Ngora, which means friend in Wangkatha.
Yes.
And all our friends who are listening into the program as well. Victoria Jansen, tell us a little bit about your life and what you're doing. And this Live Lighter campaign, which is an important, you're a campaign manager.
Yes, that's right. So
tell me about that.
I'll tell you about that, sure. So I manage the Live Lighter campaign, and what it is, it's a healthy lifestyle education campaign, which is all about getting people to eat better, move more, and maintain a healthy weight. So my role in that campaign is arranging where we can place education materials, mass media, to really try and get to people and get our message across to help them really make healthy choices, the easier choices.
Beautiful. And also, Jan Atkins, who are you?
Hi, Jeremy. I am a busy mum.
Yes.
Busy mum to one daughter, busy mum to a husband who's like having a second child sometimes.
My wife says that to me.
Yeah. So I am Live Lighter's nutritionist. So my background is in talking about how food actually helps heal us, why it's good for our body, why we should eat what we eat. I come from it from a very practical aspect, just having family. I come from an Asian culture where family is celebration. It's always to do with food. If you're happy, we eat. If you're sad, we eat. There's always a celebration with food.
Also, let's look at some of the key points. So let's look at one of those key points. We will touch on this particular program.
Yes, for sure. So the reason we're here today is because 1 in 10 Australian adults aren't eating enough fruit and vegetables. They're not getting their 2 fruit and 5 vegetables every day. So what we're really here for is a simple message. Just try and add one more. Because if you add one more piece of fruit or vegetable to your day, it can really help fight against disease, and it can help you maintain a healthy weight, which is good for you.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yes, when it definitely makes a difference.
Your health as well. And what's the other topic we're going to talk about as well?
We're going to talk about fruit and vegetables in general in terms of how to actually get it into your day. I think that when we try and engage people in the Live Lighter message, particularly with the fruit and veg run, we talk about eat brighter, live lighter. So having a look at how we make things a little bit more colourful on your plate. I just look at my daughter's lunchbox when I pack things for her. If it's all one colour, she just goes, it's not very appetising. So it's coming from that point of view. We always say we eat with our eyes, so let's do that. We're encouraging people when they go shopping to pop an extra colour into their trolley, when they're thinking about buying lunch, thinking about making dinner, just add that extra serve. It could be vegetables, it could be fruit. There's lots of different ways that we can talk about adding more fruit and vegetables to your day, and we'll go through that in the next hour or so.
And of course, a good diet helps. Well, it helps you healthy from a health perception as well, and it is really important as well. And those fruit and vegetables and the colours, which are really important as well. And okay, let's look at some of the points which we're going to discuss as well. That healthy eating and the message getting through, is it out there within the community, and how are we doing that?
So at the moment, there has been out there for a few years the go for two fruit and five vegetables message. But what we're finding is people aren't necessarily meeting those guidelines and those recommendations. So we're really trying to find ways with this Eat Brighter campaign. How can we make it easier for people? What can we do to make it easier to add more to your day? Because the problem with not eating enough fruit and vegetables is that it can lead to putting on extra weight, because yeah. instead of eating the fruit and vegetables, people might be eating junk food that's full of fat and salt and sugar. And by carrying those extra kilos, it can lead to a range of health problems and what we call toxic fat. And if there's a build-up of toxic fat around the organs, particularly around the abdominal organs and around the gut, it can release some yucky hormones and chemicals into the body, and that can then cause diseases and like cancer, type 2 diabetes and heart disease. So currently there's about 63% of WA adults who are overweight or obese. So
yeah.
We really need to do something about this.
Yeah, and Lynn, within our Aboriginal community, you see this happening within our community, and what's the message? Because, of course, it's a heart. You're from the Heart Foundation and Foundation's cultural leader, and what are some of the messages that you're putting across to the community as well?
Telling our people that it's really important to return to culture.
Yeah.
To actually go back and get bush foods and hunt for them. And we have become a very lazy group of people in that we do go and access junk food more readily. And what we need to do to stay healthy is to think about our nans and pops, mums and dads, aunties and uncles.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to actually think about them being a healthier group of people. They've lived a long time. We're not living a long time. Why aren't we living a long time? We're not living because we're not eating healthy.
Mm.
And we're taking our kids to the takeaway stores, to the garages. We're giving them money to buy food instead of cooking foods at home
yeah.
for them. So we need to go back to our lifestyle and start caring for our people and start caring for our children by preparing our own home-cooked meals and not taking the easy option of going out to a takeaway store, because it seems cheaper, but in the long run it's not cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. There's the cost benefit is health, isn't it, at the
it
end
is.
Of the day. How do you put that message across to the our people?
Really, it's about, do you want to be here for a long time?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you want to continue eating junk food and turning away from our real rich culture and our real rich foods that are out there that keep us healthy and strong? And also it helps us to look after some of our sicknesses if we actually do eat more fruit, more vegetables. But also our bush foods have the same nutrition that we have. So I really think it's about being where we want to be, in a comfortable space, returning to culture, walking more, spending less time inside the home, watching TV, playing with our kids.
It's an overall process, isn't it?
It is a big process, but it's about being inclusive of taking all the fat off us and becoming nice and thin and lean again.
Mm-hmm. And Jen Atkins?
Yeah, one thing I was just saying to the girls yesterday as well, looking back into my family history, in terms of growing up, we lived with my grandma and granddads from both sides, and it was one big extended family. And we didn't have a very big garden, but we certainly grew everything that we had. I just remember actually picking peanuts with my grandma. Then we'd take them inside to the kitchen, you'd wash them, and then you steam them, and then you would eat them. We were forever surrounded by fruit trees, coming from an Asian country. It was a equatorial climate. So we had mangoes that were just there, and you picked them when they were ripe. They weren't green as you can find mangoes in the store here. We had bananas. We had our own poultry. Everything just seemed to be from the garden. That's probably something that I do miss for my child, growing up in this kind of day and age where it's such a busy life. It's a very different lifestyle nowadays. So what I try and do is incorporate some of the sort of growing nature. So, you know, we grow our own tomatoes so that she can pick them and see that whole process and learning about the foods, and not everything just comes from Woolworths and Coles. Learning it from the seed, it grows, what you have to do to nourish it, and then relating it to her body. That's what you're meant to be doing, putting some good things in so that you're nice and healthy as well.
Because when we look at things, everything's fast food. We can package things quite easy. You know, you can run out there and I don't have to do... The things that I think about when it comes to food, I say, well, I don't have to do the washing up. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's going to cost when it comes to your health, because it's about what you take in bodies as well.
That's right. And I think it's also, like what Jen said, setting good examples for kids and as they grow up to really have a really positive relationship with food. And my background, I have an Italian background, and my grandfather, my nonno, who's 95 now, he grew his own tomatoes and his own vegetables as well. And so we really had that understanding growing up, and we still do tomato sauce day.
It's not like tomato sauce day back in the day,
but it's just this real appreciation for using real natural food, and that was just instilled in us when we were kids, and we pass it on now. So I think it's trying to get people excited about fresh food and produce. And really, I guess also part of this conversation is talking about how we can break down some of the barriers, because a lot of people might think it's not convenient or it's too expensive or things like that. So that's definitely something that we can give tips and ideas around.
One of the beautiful things to have you on the program is that we've got three different cultures here.
Yeah, that's right.
And all advocating the same thing about health as well. I remember the tomato sauce days was amazing with Nuna and all the families, and people coming together and all of us sitting around the tables wondering what's this about.
That's right.
But it's all about family.
Exactly.
And it's all about cultural change. The same thing with Asian families coming together, and the same again with Aboriginal families coming together when hunting has already done, and people are still doing this whole process. You see?
Absolutely.
How do we look at mindset change to say, well, how can we revert back into this amazing culture?
I think one big thing is that an excuse that commonly comes up is we're so busy. But sometimes it's just making that time to do it. And for me, it is, yes, I have to wake up that half an hour early from bed so that I can wake my daughter up and then we can have breakfast together. And while she's talking about what she had a dream about, then, you know, I might just pass some fruit onto her breakfast yogurt. And then we go and talk about what's for lunch, what's going to be in your lunchbox today. And let's see, okay, well, you've got your sandwich there. Well, what are we going to put into your sandwich? You know, let's try some tomatoes. Let's put some lettuce. What about something a little bit different that you might want to give a go today? Her big thing at the moment is mangoes. She just loves mangoes. So every lunchbox, we need to have mangoes. Yeah. Like, okay, let's just try something a little bit different today. It's taking her shopping, and even from a very young age, she used to sit in a shopping trolley and we'd go through, you know, what's this? This is a lettuce. What's this? This is a capsicum. Then you go through the different colored capsicums, and it's just engaging her with her environment. When you look at our environment nowadays, you know, we've got fast food advertising everywhere, and whether we just accept that that's there, or should we change people's thinking into thinking, actually, we should be getting back to basics. Let's really have a look at what fruit and vegetables, what healthy foods actually play within our families.
We want
to nurture that, as you're saying, Jeremy. You know, it comes down to your cultural roots. We've had Chinese New Year recently, and you know, it's two whole weeks of festivities, but it all centres around your love of your family, your love through your cooking, what you provide to your family.
That's right.
That's a big part of where I come from with food.
Yeah, yeah. And Lynn, the same with you, isn't it? When family comes together, it's an important process. And
it's a very important process, yeah. And we also learn to share everything that we've got.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, even if you've got something that's just there for you, especially if you've got little children around, you will share it with them first, and then the older people get it afterwards. But we always look after what we give to our children first and foremost.
It's a very similar synergy we're talking about here. It's about sharing and bringing the people together. And I suppose this is an ideal time for the sort of fertilisation of knowledge. And of course, health consciousness.
Yes, that's right. And that's what really our campaign, Eat Brighter, Live Lighter, is really all about. This is a chance to share our knowledge and share our tips with people to really try and improve their health and improve their enjoyment of fruit and vegetables. Some people simply don't know what to do with them. They they're overwhelmed. They're thinking, gosh, how can I make this thing tasty? It's really uninspiring. So we do have some really great recipes, including some bush tucker type recipes. We've got a deadly tucker book that the health department produces.
Yes.
So really ways to inspire people around what they can do with fruit and veg.
How do you make Brussels sprouts?
I actually bake my Brussels sprouts. That is me. sometimes in winter time, for flavouring, sometimes that can happen. But I mostly use it when it's in season. One big thing that I do try and teach my family and my circle of friends is to actually look at seasonality, because when you buy something that's in season, it's at its best flavour, it's at its cheapest price, and it's readily available. So many pluses there for me. And when you start eating in season, you tend to increase the variety, because what you'll eat in summer will be different to what you eat in winter. So we always harp on about getting a whole variety into your day, and seasonality is a great way to do that. When you tell people how much money they can save when they eat in season, and when people tell me that fruit and vegetables are too expensive, I say, well, have you actually tried? At the moment, stone fruit is nearing the end of the season, but, you know, you can get plums for in the metro area quite cheap, and, you know, how can you extend that?
And, of course, there are those places you can go to. Pick up your cherries and all sorts of things. You can go to the wholesalers, the people who...
There's lots of farmers markets. Yeah. There's community gardens. There was a story I was saying to some of the team the other day. Onslow Primary School many years ago was struggling to keep up to date with the Crunch and Sit program, which encourages kids to actually eat a piece of fruit or vegetables within the school day. And so that school actually set up a community garden within the school, and it grew that big that community garden actually started selling their produce to the community.
Wow. Yeah,
and that's just amazing.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I think many, many years ago, I think Woolies were saying, well, the kids can come into Woolies and they can grab one fruit.
Yeah, that's certainly the stand is actually in most of the Woolworths stores, and that's one thing that my daughter looks forward to. She might not always enjoy going food shopping with me because I walk up and down every aisle, but she knows that when we go shopping, she can go and grab that piece of banana or apple, whatever is on display there. I love the fact that Woolworths and some other supermarkets don't just put fruit. There's often carrot sticks there as well.
Yeah.
Beautiful message.
Well, we're talking about the positive things that we can do when it comes to food. And we'll have a look at some of those negative processes when people are in a situation where they're overeating and eating the wrong food. And we'll just go to a break right here at Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, Perth. Now, this radio program goes right across the Packham Radio Network of stations right across Western Australia, and also the east coast of Australia as well. So we'd like to make welcome our listeners as well. If you have if you'd like to be a part of the program, and we can leave for our listeners 0448 21186, to you can text us on our SMS line and tell us about your situation as well, and you can be a part of programming right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. This program is called Health Matters, and we'll go to a break. And we'll continue on with programming.
The following is for station sponsor Breastgrain WA.
Who do you work for and what job do you do?
All right, well, my name's Kelly Cameron. I work for Breastgrain WA and I'm the Aboriginal Program Officer. My role involves promoting Breastgrain WA to the Aboriginal communities all over WA. I go out and talk to community groups, workplaces, anyone really that wants to have a yarn and learn more about breast screening, breast cancer and breast awareness.
What is breast screening and why do women need it?
Breast screening is checking women's breasts for breast cancer using an x-ray machine called a mammogram. 1 in 8 women in Australia would develop breast cancer in their lifetime, so the best time to treat breast cancer is when it's still very small. So by having regular mammograms through Breastscreen WA, it's one of the best things you can do to detect breast cancer early and improve your chances of survival. It's one thing that can't be prevented, but the earlier breast cancer is detected, the better the chance of successful treatment.
Who should have breast screening and how often?
Breastscreen WA actively targets women aged 50 to 74 years old, but a woman from the age of 40 years old are eligible to come in. We recommend you have a screening mammogram every 2 years, and our mammograms are performed on women with no breast symptoms for the purpose of detecting breast cancer at an early stage before it can be felt or noticed.
What if I'm a woman under 40 years old?
Women under 40 years old are not eligible to attend our screening mammogram at Breastscreen WA. Younger women have much denser breast tissues than older women, so it's more difficult for screening mammograms to show the changes that may indicate cancer. Over 75% of the breast cancers occur in women over 50 years of age. So if you're under 40, we recommend just seeing your doctor or being breast aware.
Where can I get one?
We've got 10 metro clinics. So we've got Cannington, Coburn, Mandurah, Midland, Mirrabooka, Padbury, Perth, Rockingham, Wanneroo, and we've got one in the David Jones Rose Clinic, which is level 3 of the David Jones City Store. We've also got a fixed clinic and assessment centre in Bunbury at the Southwest Health Campus. Breastscreen WA has 4 mobile units that travel all over Western Australia. The mobile service visits more than 100 towns every 2 years. So some towns are visited annually. You just need to ring 13 20 50 for an appointment, or you may be able to book online. We can also arrange block bookings if requested. And we currently are trialling a mobile in the city project, so which has been really successful, and we've got the next one located in Kwinana from the 19th of March to the 6th of April, and then we'll be in Armidale from the 9th of April to the 23rd of April.
And how much does it cost?
It's free. So all you need to do is bring in your Medicare card with you to your appointment and there's no cost involved.
What happens during the breast x-ray?
You'll be asked to remove clothing from your top half. We only have female radiographers and they'll position your upper body and your breast to get the best picture possible. The breast is then compressed gently from above and below by the plates of the mammogram machine. It can be a bit uncomfortable, but only lasts about 10 to 15 seconds. 2 x-rays are taken of each breast and obviously one from the top and one from the side.
What if they find something?
1 in 20 women may be called back for further tests. This doesn't necessarily mean that you've got breast cancer. Breastscreen WA will contact you to discuss your results and what else is needed. Most things that need further tests are not breast cancer, but if it is, remember that earlier breast cancer is found, the better chance of successful outcome.
If it's normal, am I definitely okay?
Breast x-rays find 70 to 90% of breast cancer, but it doesn't find them all. I encourage all women to be breast aware, even if your results are normal. This means getting to know your breasts, what they look and feel like throughout the month, and if there are things that change, like lumps, discharge, dimpling, rash or abnormal pain, talk to your doctor or your healthcare worker as soon as possible. Women ask me what is normal and what are changes. Normal is what's normal for you. For changes, look for anything that's different for you.
What else can I do?
Be breast aware. So look for changes. If you notice any changes, see your doctor as soon as you can. From the age of 40, you're eligible to come and have a free screening mammogram with us every 2 years.
How do I book a free mammogram?
You can call 13 20 50, which will connect you to our call centre, or you can go online. You can search Breastscreen WA and follow the prompts, or you can find us on our Facebook page.
This has been a message from station sponsor Breastscreen WA.
And thanks for that right here at Noongar Radio. We're back, and this is Health Matters. And in the studio, Victoria Jensen, Live Lighter Campaign Manager, and Lynn Dimer, Health Foundation Cultural Leader, and also Jan Atkins, Live Lighter nutritionist person who's in the studio at the moment. And on the subject, we talked about all the aspects of food and all the things that we can do when we're you know, looking about our food and all that stuff. But there are some things that we can look at as toxic levels of food that's out there, and how do we overcome? You know, we're talking off air about the advertisement on television and radio and fast food shops similar to the one that's close to us here. You know, how do we look at some of those? How can they be toxic in some way?
It's really, really challenging, Jeremy. People are being bombarded with advertising from the junk food industry. Everywhere they look, they wake up in the morning, make their breakfast, and hear on the radio some junk food advertising, open the newspaper and there's sugary drinks or takeaway advertised. Walk down the street, catch the bus to school, and there's a huge drink ad. Wherever you go, it's all over the place. So I guess one thing is for people to be aware that the industry is actually trying to suck you in with all these messages, and that it's okay to say no to it, but and try and really get back to being healthy, cutting out the fat, the salt, and the sugar, and moving towards fruit and veg.
And Lynn, lots of our people. Again, diabetes is a big issue, and other issues as well. And it is that process. And how do we get that message across? We need to get that right to the community as well.
Yeah, diabetes, heart disease, chronic disease.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All of those are real big issues for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really need to look at what we eat, how often we eat it, the amount of food we eat, and also, is it good for us? Is it good for us to take and share with others in our families? And when I say, is the food good for us, we're talking about healthy options and not healthy choices. Like thinking about, do we go to the takeaway store? Do we buy fish and chips? Or do we go down the shop and we buy salad stuff? Or we go and buy more vegetables and some meat. But when we cook it and prepare it, we have to stop and think, do I have 5 sausages? Do I have 5 chops?
Yeah.
That's what we like, with lots of salt on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's thinking about and training our families to reduce to 1 chop or 2 chops. And it's important to actually start cutting back on the amount of food that we actually eat.
And it is easy, from what I understand, to change your thinking and to change the process of what we're doing. It is a cultural process as well. You can have more vegetables rather than just have the meat and all that as well. I've noticed that vegetables are in abundance. You can do that.
You can eat a lot more vegetables, definitely, yeah. Jeremy.
Yeah.
And a lot of the vegetables do not make you put on weight. The extra weight that we put on comes in what we put into those vegetables. So try not to add the butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try not to put lots of sauces on the foods we eat. We should be looking at maybe skipping the butter and try a bit of yogurt.
Yeah.
Not many of our mob eat the yogurt.
Yeah, it's good for the gut,
it's
isn't it?
Good for our gut, yeah, for sure.
And also, what about NAIDOC Week's coming up? And I'm thinking culturally, and the damper, the bread, and I'm going, oh, dear me, it's white bread at the same time. How do we change those perceptions? You can have some, but not have a lot.
Yeah, I mean, damper is what we've been brought up on, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
We were brought up on damper and dip.
That's right. two that worst ingredients you can ever get for a heart attack as well.
And it's led us to where we are today. Being big and cuddly.
That's right, yeah.
And taking away the leanness from us. But what we've got to learn to do is reduce the size of the damper we have. I know I'm also at fault in this because when I see damper before me, I don't cook it. But when I see it at an event such as NAIDOC Week,
me too.
I will have five or six pieces.
me too. And, So, this coming NAIDOC Week, there's been really positive, healthy choices as well, from what I understand as well.
Yeah, and it's good to see healthy choices, though, Jeremy. And we need to go away from having our sausage sizzles more.
And
you know, look at own cultural meats like kangaroo.
A healthy choice of a sausage sizzle with a bit of veggies in there as well. I mean, that's another marketing ploy, I guess.
That's a new thing for us to try, hey?
and Jen, with your culture as well, bread is also a part of it as well.
Yeah, probably not so much in the Asian culture. We have this a sweeter kind of dough, a bao that we call it. I guess in the Asian culture, meats traditionally have been quite expensive, so vegetables have always featured as part of our culture. The thing that probably we needed to improve on was the salt, but in those days you didn't have refrigeration, so you had to salt things so that you could preserve them. But we're fortunate in this day and age, yes, we do have refrigeration, so it's just it's keeping your culture, but then changing it so that it's healthier. So it is, like Lynn was saying, cutting down on the salts, cutting down on the portions that you would eat. And I can see the difference between my parents and my in-laws, for example. They want to spoil my daughter to give her everything that they never had. And you love that because that's what they do. Mm. But it's actually trying to educate them. It's like, you know, a little bit is fine. Every day it's not so fine. Just watching the portion that they give her. And sometimes they may love my daughter to bits, but you know what? Love her with an apple. Not the chocolate bar.
And the same way with your Parsani and your family.
Yeah, definitely.
Coming together, it's
portion size is tricky, I can tell you.
Exactly, yeah.
You're just constantly being told, manja, eat more, have more, because it's all about sharing and eating. And my husband is Dutch and his parents are living with us at the moment from Holland. And it's so interesting, the different cultures in terms of food, because it's very high in terms of vegetables, but they cook the perfect amount. There's never any leftovers. And from the first time it happened, I was sort of like, oh, that's different, but it makes sense because we don't overeat and we eat enough. And it's also a challenge for me in my family where it's all about having extra, because you don't want to be seen
having extra to take home. Yes.
Time you go to mum's for dinner, it's leftovers.
and of course, we're talking about living lighter and eating brighter. I like that saying, brighter, which says that I've got a plate with all the colours in front of me, and of course none of that toxic stuff which is out there. I mean, as I say, we can easily go to one of those fast food outlets and sit down and that's about it. But we're really not eating the nutrition that we need to have. And from our nutritionist, tell me about it.
As Vicky was saying earlier, it certainly boils down to the fact that all health authorities actually say this, you know, if we can aim to eat two serves of fruit, if you think about it, if you have a piece of fruit at morning tea time and then you have some fruit salad for dinner, you've covered your two serves. When you're looking at vegetables, that's where the challenge is when we're thinking about five serves of vegetables. People tend to get it wrong and think it's five different types of vegetables. If they have different types, I'd be so happy, but you don't have to do that. And a serve of vegetables isn't as hard as what people think it is. It's only half a cup of cooked vegetables. When you look at having a roast dinner, for example, it's actually just a couple of small pieces of pumpkin would make one serve, then you'd have some potato with that, some peas, so one, you've got the colour, and then suddenly you're getting that three or four serves in pretty quickly already at dinner. Breakfast time, I'm a big veggie person, and my weekend breakfasts would be mushrooms with my toast. Baked beans actually count as vegetables as well. My daughter loves baked beans. I mean, she laughs and says it makes her pass gas, but that's her fun thing that she does, and I know that she's eating something that's good. We get into the season where it's party food season. There's lots of birthday parties happening around school, and one thing that my daughter understands when we host birthday parties is that there'll be a little bit of nice party food, but majority of it is going to be healthy food that's always colourful. I remember there was one year I actually made a fruit cake, and this was literally watermelon that I cut out all the green skin, two pieces, one on top of each other. Then I had skewers coming out with pineapple, there was strawberries, there was grapes, there was kiwi fruit, and then the kids were drawn to it because it just looked so different. It looked so colourful, and they could go and cut a piece. Yes, there was the birthday cake that we blew the candle as well. But sometimes it's just thinking of things a little bit differently in the kids, and you know, families get drawn to it.
Yeah, and of course with my children, we always sit down and we'd make shapes, and you can make those cut-out shapes into, you know, the
I
watermelon.
I think every parent does that, yes, at some time.
And, you know, that's showing, you know, it's not just a watermelon. It's a shape. It's also, you know, it's changing that mindset as well.
Exactly. And if you have a son that loves dinosaurs, a dinosaur cookie cutter will be your best friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to take that one on too as well for my three-year-old. But there are food, again, the toxicity levels of food and are out there in the community. We think of that. When you think of food, when I go out, I think of saving and a budget, and how can I sort of think about the same of the budget, and you know, can I have healthy food on a budget, and what are the ways to do that?
Believe it or not, fruit and veg, if you have a diet that's full of fruit and veg, it will actually save you money. We tend to talk about the cost of foods per kilo, so if you think about how much a piece of meat would cost you, a steak, for example, it might be $25 a kilo. So when people say fruits and vegetables are expensive, how expensive can it be if a broccoli is only $5.99 a kilo? You think how much a kilo of broccoli would feed you versus a kilo of meat. When you bulk up with veggies, often when you look at a range of veggies, it's between $2 to $10 a kilo in the metro area. So when we're saying to people, if you cut down on how much meat that you eat and have, for example, meat-free Mondays is something that we do in our household. Suddenly, you've actually decreased your household budget because that one day you've just eaten all vegetables. Another idea is when you're looking at the farmers markets and things like that, have a look at how much loose fruit and vegetables cost compared to the packaged ones. Sometimes picking your own fruit and vegetables will actually save you money week to week, and in a whole year will make a big difference. Other things that we do say to people is have a look at some canned options. Have a look at the frozen options. I certainly will confess that in my pantry, I've got tinned corn. I've always got some beans in there. I use canned tomatoes as well. When it's available fresh, I'll use it, but otherwise I've got them there. You know, with our busy lives that I come home and I might have a stew that's going in my slow cooker the whole day, but I want to bulk it up with more vegetables on the side. So I'll pull out a packet of frozen vegetables, heat that up, and suddenly on my dinner plate, there's some of my stew, and then I've got vegetables as well. And it's a lot cheaper. It can be a lot cheaper when you look at it that way.
And Lynn, that's a good point, isn't it? Frozen food, and you can also. I'm just thinking about this out loud now here. You know, going into the vegetable shop, you're worrying about the deterioration of the vegetables, but you can actually pre-cook it, and you can put it into freezers and that as well, and you can actually reheat it or reconstitute it. So it's
it's a good way to go, is especially when you're living in rural and regional areas, to actually have access to frozen foods or to canned foods.
Yeah.
And reuse them if you can by cooking up all your meals at once and then sorting them into takeaway containers and refreezing them. And then when you come home really tired and don't want to cook, you've already got your healthy food sitting there waiting for you to take it out of the fridge, heat it up and serve the families.
Yeah. Victoria?
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things since working for Live Lighter and being surrounded by dietitians and nutritionists, it's great.
Yeah.
They have so many really easy ideas for when we have those excuses, like it's just not convenient, I get home from work and, you know, to go to the shops and everything. They've said, keep these key ingredients in your pantry. Keep a tin of tomatoes, some lentils, and some wraps or some pasta, and suddenly you can make kind of a lentil bolognese and things like that. So there's so many ideas and available at the eblighter.com.au.
Lentils, beans?
Lentils are chickpeas, lentils, they're all what are called legumes, and they count as a serve of vegetables.
You know,
as well.
It's absolutely wonderful having you in the studio here, and because I'm picking up points and pointers and the excuses that we make. And the thing that I'd make is, well, it's easier just to go to this shop and go to that shop and not worry too much about it. But when you think of it, it's food storage, mm-hmm. and what you can do about that, you know, and storing your food and get away from the toxic fats, which is out there in abundance. And we talked about advertising, how advertising is, and how it, I suppose, it works in the subliminal mind, I suppose, more than anything else. And as we keep looking to places like that, it is a bit of a burden for us. But we need to change the mindset. We need to change the process of what's going into our minds and what we're taking in to our bodies as well. And of course, the cost-saving process as well, you know, and how we can save on a budget, and we can live quite healthy on a budget, canned food, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. You know. Just going back to my daughter and her mango fascination at the moment, anywhere that we walk past that has a smoothie bar, for example, she's like, she sees mango, so she thinks, oh, mum's going to say yes because it's mango. What I've taught her is that, yes, we'll buy the fresh mangoes that are on special when there's a big tray, and I will freeze... I'll cut it up and freeze some into the freezer. So when she says, oh, she really would like a mango ice cream, then it's me taking that mango out of the freezer and I'll blend it. And suddenly she's got that fresh mango. To her, it's a treat. It's ice cream-like for her, but I know it's good. And I don't have to pay, you know, $6 for a little cup when that's what it costs outside. And it's probably full of more sugar and everything else that's in there. And I know when I do it at home, you know, that's what it is. My daughter does a lot of dancing, and from one class to the next, there might be a 15-minute break. So it's just, for me, it's planning so that I always have something healthier for her. So she might say, I really would like a cookie. Okay, well, we'll have a cookie that I'll make at home that has sultanas in there. So she's got that bit of fruit. It doesn't have to be a chocolate chip cookie. A sultana cookie looks like a chocolate chip cookie, but, it's a better option for her. It's, for example, when we do our pancakes at home, I do my batter, I put it in the plate, on the pan, and I actually slice apple to put on top while the batter's cooking, and then I flip it over, so she's got an apple pancake to eat. So it's just a little tricks that we try and do in Live Lighter to give people all sorts of ideas on how to make it easy to add that fruit and vegetables into your dinner and throughout your whole day.
And Lynn, for our community and our culture, and I suppose we have to look at some of these options, which is in our community. How do we put that across and to the community?
I just think we need to go back to making the big pot of stew.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
so you've got
that.
A big pot of stew, and you use whatever you've got in your fridge or your cupboard, and you just throw it in there, and it's a great feed.
Great option.
To feed the whole lot of us.
Yeah, that's a great option to think about that, because, you know, I don't think I've had a stew for a long time, but except Murdoch Week celebrations coming up too as well, and it's pretty important. And it's also, how do we find, you know, looking at toxic levels? I suppose we can see food that could be of toxicities within our bodies as well. It's, you know, if you're going to eat the fast stuff.
So we really have to try. Fruit and veg is really the healthiest things you can put into your body, and try to avoid the high salt, high fat junk food that is all around us, because when you eat junk food, it can lead to putting on weight, and putting on weight can lead to toxicities in your body, and that can lead to other things like cancer and heart disease. So it really is about preventing ill health and stopping that from happening, and protecting yourself against disease by making the small changes and eating healthier, and swapping those unhealthy foods for the fruit and veg, and going back to what it used to be, where it's a sometimes food. They just seem to have infiltrated our lives a bit too much, and becoming a bit more every day instead of being that treat that it should be.
And Lynn, you've mentioned that topic as well when we talked about the booklet, and tell us about that regarding, there is stuff out there in the community. I think AMS has produced a booklet as well.
We've produced a very little booklet in our resources to deal with food and nutrition in the Aboriginal community, and it's part of the My Heart, My Family, Our Culture package. And that little booklet actually shows you the amount of fat, the amount of sugar and the amount of salt that you actually put in food. But we've used everyday recipes, everyday items that you have already in your cupboard, so you don't have to go out and hunt and look for them.
Yeah.
And it's the common types of foods that we eat at home. We've got, in that booklet, we've actually got pictures that give you the healthier option. Like, there might be a snack, and on that snack page there might be polony, salami and ham, and also some sliced chicken. Four choices, chicken is probably the best one to go to, because it has less salt, less fat, and also the amount you have can be a bit more than having the different ones that have more fat in it or the more salt inside the meat products. So, but it's even better to have food that you cook up yourself rather than the processed food.
Thank you for that. I'll tell you what, when you have a good program, and if we've got good guests on the program, because when time flies, we've only got about a minute to go, so just to sort of recap in 30 seconds.
Yep, we just really want to encourage people to add one more piece of fruit or veg to their day, or to their breakfast, lunch or snacks or dinner.
And phone numbers, Lynn, for people to get in contact?
To get in contact, you can ring the Heart Foundation on 9388 3343.
And a great place to visit if you're on the web is visiting eatbrighter.com.au. And we'll have heaps of great recipes and tips to get more fruit in.
And Jen?
I guess the last thing that I'd like to say to people is that it's never too late. You can take action really quickly, straight away, what you're looking to do for lunch, and then you can have a better health outcome.
Yeah, and you can do it right now. And for those listeners, thanks very much for all listening as well, and thanks to our wonderful guest in the program. It's just time's flown so quickly. And Victor, thank you for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Lynn Dimer, thank you very much for coming to the studio.
Thanks for having us, Jeremy.
And Jen Atkins, thank you very much from Live Lighter. And it's wonderful to have you on the program.
Thank you.